This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Trying to think of a way to get started. Stuttered my flow, train of thought just departed. Taste of mezcal on my breath. Let me get this off your chest. Open my mouth out the chest. Greetings and salutations. Welcome to Geek and Sassy. I am Jennifer Smith, and I'm here with my friend Miranda. Say hi, Miranda.
Hi.
We decided to start a geek podcast along with a bunch of our friends, kind of following their footsteps. You know, we wanted to talk about geek stuff, girly stuff, fun stuff, crazy stuff, all the stuffs.
All the stuffs, yeah. Like that.
So we named ourselves Geek and Sassy. I guess it's to be determined if one of us is going to claim one of those names.
Oh, boy.
Let's start by introducing ourselves, telling people just a little bit about ourselves, why we consider ourselves geeky, you know, some of our maybe geek history, if you can call it that. Tell me about you, Miranda.
Well, you know about me, but they don't know about me, so I guess I'll start. It's a long story that all began at the age of two. No, it really did begin at age two. The way I became a geek, which kind of goes into who I am, which my name is Miranda. So, that, yeah, you got that part already. So it started when I was really little. I grew up where we lived with my grandmother still. And my uncle still lived at home because he was quite a bit younger than my mother. And he actually had a D&D group that met at my grandmother's house every Thursday and Friday night. And my grandmother would cater like all the food and stuff. And so here I am running around at like 2 and 3. And I would dress up as like a wizard or as a princess or whatever. And they weren't rude. Like my uncle and his friends that I called like Uncle This and Uncle That, they weren't rude. They would give me a deck of cards and they would pretend I was part of this D&D group. So that kind of spurred a life of geekdom for me that I didn't even realize until later years that I was a geek and that it was okay to be like, hey, this is who I am. If you don't accept it, kind of get over yourself. But that's kind of where it was. And he even started the original, like, Lord of the Rings had an old, like, in the 80s, yes, in the 80s, a cartoon that he bought for me and we watched, like, continuously. So that's kind of where it started, and now it's evolved into something so much more because, like I said, I realized it's okay to kind of, like, let that flag fly and be proud of who you are, especially with it being so prominent, like, in our pop culture, you know, now as it is. I'm also a mom now, so he kind of drug things out of me that I had forgotten I had a love of.
They tend to do that, don't they?
Yeah, he did. Well, he did because, you know, here he is and he was like, have you seen this? It's called Transformers. And I'm like,
have I seen that?
You gonna learn today, son.
Right. Or like the day he came in, he was like, oh, I like Power Rangers. And I'm like, can you name the originals? And I'm like, he's like, what? So it's kind of evolved. So I guess that's where my geekdom started. A little about me is, you know, both of us are podcasting from Southern Alabama, but I'm not actually originally from here. I grew up on a farm in Southern Kentucky and was transplanted here due to my husband, who was former military. And now we're kind of permanent, I guess you'd say, to the area.
It better be.
Yeah, I hope so. I don't really want to go anywhere after being here for, 9 years? Like, kind of permanent. I don't know. Introductions are kind of weird. This is that, like, when you go to an interview and they're like, tell me a little about yourself.
This is where we want to ask you questions, but legally we are bound not to. It's all I feel right now.
I enjoy working and then working here and then working. So
right.
Do I have the job?
You to work me like a slave, pay me very little money, and never allow me to see my family.
Sounds
Where do
great.
I sign?
You're
oh,
hired.
My soul was taken too. Okay. Yeah. No, I am a stay-at-home mom, which I say stay at home and then I'm never at home.
Exactly.
What that means is I'm actually the head of our PAT, which is the same as like a PTO or a PTA. We just call it something different. It's PAT, Parent Action Team. And I also tutor in the afternoons at my son's karate studio that he takes karate lessons at. We do more than just let the kids take karate lessons. We actually have a group of kids that come in the afternoons and we do their homework with them for about an hour before they take their lesson.
You're,
so when I have to
a better
like,
woman than I am.
Well, you know, I've noticed lately people are like, oh, what do you do? And I tell them that I tutor at a karate studio and they're like, oh, that's cool. And then they start doing like these strike a pose things like kung pao into the fist pose. And I'm like, no guys, I know nothing. I have no belt. I don't know what you're doing right now. Cause I mean, I can kick you, but it's not correct. And
well, so it is kind of misleading cause it does sound like you're tutoring
right.
children
that's
in martial arts.
I kind of like go in depth there because yeah. I'm waiting for hopefully a listener to say, oh, that's so cool. And then he would have to be like, well, actually, so I just figured we'd just go ahead and get that done with.
Right, right.
Get it over with.
Well, homework in my house is the opposite of where I want to spend my time. So kudos to you for molding young minds.
I didn't say I wanted to spend it. Yeah. Sometimes it's easier to do it with a child that isn't your own. I will say that.
Yeah, because then, you know, you might feel guilty about, like, yelling at them or, you know.
They just listen differently when they're not yours is all it is. It's really what it comes down to.
So what I'm hearing is you're going to come tutor mine.
Oh, my Lord. Move to Enterprise. We've had this discussion.
All right. So I guess I'll take over for a minute.
Yeah. Like, so, Jenny, tell us about you. So how did you become a geek? And tell us a little bit about yourself.
You know, I'm originally from Dothan, Alabama, born and raised. The more I think about it, I think my geek tendencies have gradually just come to a full circle. Because I felt like when I was little, I was geekier. I was definitely into Batman. I was definitely into X-Men. I was into weird stuff that other people that were around me, my cousins weren't into. So, but it kind of went away. You know, I kind of drifted away from it throughout high school. But now, like you said, having a kid kind of brings you back to it for some reason. You know, superheroes have always been like a thing for me. Batman in particular. I've always loved all the movies, shows, you name it, I was watching it. Premieres, and then, you know, most recently, comic books. So now I'm reading comic books on the regular, still getting used to that. It's different, but I'm definitely all in for it.
I have to say I'm very proud of you on that one because I remember a discussion we had like, what, 2 years ago now where you were like, I just can't do it. I don't know why, but right. They're such a quick read. I just can't do it. They don't grasp me long enough.
Right.
And now you're like, oh, I've got to pick up a whole list of stories. Like, I'm very proud of you for like branching out and like going there. Like, it just makes me happy.
Well, I'm glad. I mean, it makes me happy too. It's basically DC Rebirth that's done it for me. I just clicked in with everything that they did in Rebirth, and for the most part, I've really liked a lot of it. So then, you know, I think once you start talking to people who love comics, it slowly infiltrates your whole life. That's kind of what it's done, but in a good way, you know, like meeting awesome people and thinking about things and talking about things that are outside of what I normally do. I've really loved it so far. I like it when people are accepting and open and not super like snobs about their comics or about their fandoms, you know, opening your, you know, your fandom and your love to somebody else and giving them room to love it too.
Well, I think that's what's great about our, I guess you'd say culture. That's how I've kind of always referred to it, as like a nerd or geek culture, because some people prefer the phrase nerd and geek, and I understand they have different meanings, but different people prefer different words. They just really do. But inside that culture, I will have to say everyone really is very, what's the correct word I'd really like to pull here is just not coming. But
yeah,
everyone's just very like gracious and giving. They're like, you know, that may not be my thing, my fandom, but let me tell you a fandom that I am really about that I think you should check out because you are about that one. And there's a lot of similarities.
Right.
And they don't put you down because you do like another one. They may look at you and say, I could never get into that and I don't really like it. Why do you like it? I mean, and I'm probably hearing somebody that's going to be like rolling their eyes right now this and going, no, I've had somebody argue with me. Okay, well, that's either A, they're passionate, or B, they're a douchebag. I'm not going to mince my words here. Like, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, well, I mean, that's just all it boils down to. So at the end of the day, you can't please everyone. But for the most part, the majority of this culture that we have for ourselves, our little niche here in the wall, everyone is very giving and gracious and caring and wants to share, because that's what it's about. Loving your fandom is about saying, oh my gosh, you didn't know about this? Oh my, let me share it with you.
I love it. And I have, on the rare occasion, run into, you know, the opposite of that. And luckily, I can just pull away and say, you do you, and I'm going to go over here and talk to people who actually, you know, are a little bit more understanding and not douchebags that actually want to teach you things too. I that's the other part of it, you know. If you are interested in something, there is somebody who can teach you about it for the most part with authority. You know, I tend to gravitate towards those people, I think.
I know that, I'm trying to think. There's been several fandoms, for example, with my son that I've not known anything about. But there have been adults that have been willing to talk to him about them, talk to me about them, and just been very friendly. And then I've had others that have just looked at me and said, I don't really think. How old is he? Oh, it doesn't matter.
Right.
And I'm like, I think it should be regardless of your age, unless it's just something that's so highly inappropriate, which you've had, and I've had several discussions about the appropriateness of showing certain nerd things to your tiny geekling. But
I think you might be a little more disciplined in that than I am.
I don't know. I have this whole like let them be little thing.
Yeah,
that was destroyed for me as a child, not by my parents' fault. It was an accident on their part because I had a cousin babysitter that was much older, and I just don't want that for him. So I guess maybe I've in some way been helicopter mom. But that's another discussion. But that's where I think it's great that people will explain things and take the time to explain things, because I mean, our big one, for example, Five Nights at Freddy's.
Yeah, no.
To me, it's like a Chuck E. Cheese
exactly.
Was left abandoned, and now things jump out at you.
Yeah.
And I don't find the appeal in that. Not because I'm scared. I love me some horror. But because I'm like, I'm not scared.
Yeah.
I feel like I should be.
But you have to respect the fear, though, because my son is really scared of Five Nights at Freddy's.
And see, that's where I do respect it, because I'm like, I don't understand this. I would never make fun of someone who is afraid of it. Mm-hmm. But my son is like so infatuated in it. He's like, oh my gosh, isn't it terrifying? Isn't it amazing? And I'm like,
Yeah. Whatever.
But that's where, like, I guess as a parent, you become also accepting on another realm.
Right.
As a geek. You're like, yeah. And you just roll with it.
Exactly. All right. Is there anything that you've been watching or reading that you would like to mention or talk about? Well,
yeah, I was going to say, I know that you have been real heavy in the rebirth, reading of the rebirth. So I know that your reading is going to be mostly comic related. And I do have a pull list that I pick up. And I love my comics. But I am actually taking kind of a break from reading the comics, not because I'm bored or anything. It's just sometimes you want to go to something else. And I'm like an avid reader anyway, mm-hmm. like in general. So I decided to go to a series that I had read book one, like back last year. And it's not a new series or anything. It's an older one, but it's actually, what is the name of the actual series itself? Oh, goodness grief. So the book is The Last Apprentice, The Curse of Bane. It's Joseph Delaney is the author. And they had a movie that actually came out based on book one.
I want to say I saw like, that.
Yeah, and it was like all kinds of what did you just do to my book?
Yeah.
But I'm reading book two, and it's fantastic so far. Like, better than book one. I'm about, I'd say, 3/4 of the way through. And just, like, basically what happens is the seventh son of the seventh sons of right. this area, they really, the only job skill they really seem or they really feel that these boys are fit for is being a spook. But what we think of as a spook now is not what they are in the book. In the book, they're people that go out and they take care of the witches. They take care of the boggarts. They take care of the ghosts that are a problem. But the problem is, with them taking care of those things, no one wants to be around them because they think they do the devil's work. Hmm. So in turn, they kind of have some sort of bad juju going on. And it's just kind of interesting to watch this young man be this spook's apprentice. And he is kind of having the time of his life. When he first got there in book one, he was kind of scared shitless. But he, like, gets through it. He gets through it. He realizes this is great. This is what I was called to do. He even has a meeting with his mom where he calls ma'am. And he's like, she explains to him, I don't know how to tell you, but this is what you were called to do. Forget the people that are going to, like, spit at your feet and make fun of you. And sorry if I just spoiled book one for anybody, but I really did. There's an entire story that goes on there. There's something they hunt. Well, no, there's something they hunt down that you got to, like, you got to read the whole book. I didn't spoil anything for you, all actually. Right, all right. So book two, though, his master, you know, the spook is in trouble. And it's basically all on him right now. And if you saw the movie, which I can't think of for the life of me what they titled that movie, but in the movie, the kid that they have as the apprentice, he's like gorgeous and is like supposed to be, I guess, probably about 17, 18. But in the book, this kid is only like 12. Hmm. Like he's around my son's age doing this job. And it's just amazing, like, what this kid is having to put up with.
That sounds awesome. What's it called again?
It's really good. It's The Last Apprentice, Curse of Bane. And I actually got it in the Y section I don't want to hear any comments about you read YA, because sometimes there is YA that should not be in that YA section.
Well, I think, you know, yeah. YA is pretty prevalent.
It's very broad. You know? Yeah, it's very broad spectrum. Like, you got to think some of the things that happen in here. But it's, I actually got it at the library here in town. But so I definitely encourage to check your library first.
Oh, anytime definitely.
There's a book that you want to read, because people, I know reading is an expensive hobby. I will definitely call it a hobby. It's been something that I've been doing my entire life, you know, talking about things that we did at the, when we were a kid that we knew we were, I don't want to say different, but we knew that we just liked things that our friends didn't. And mine was, I was the child that would actually get in trouble, get grounded, because I would stay up. Yeah, I would have a flashlight and I would read under the blanket. My big reading then, I would always get in trouble forward. The Goosebumps and them. And the, was it Christopher Pike? Was he the one that they were like creepy, really creepy? Yeah.
Fear Street,
yes. Yeah. I would get in trouble for reading, staying up and reading those. And I was reading those in like second and third grade.
Oh, I loved them. They were amazing. Sweet Valley High, Sweet Valley University.
Yeah.
That was my jam.
Yeah. I read some of those, but I never read like a whole lot of those. They had several little series that came out like that where you could pick them up and you could literally be done with them in like a day.
Oh, yeah.
It was fantastic. But my thing was, it was expensive. And I grew up where my dad was a police officer. My mother worked for DHR. And, you know, we had the farm that my family helped take care of. And everybody just assumed that that meant we were rolling in money. But no, I got a lot of my books as either gifts or the library. And I want to stress to people that the library is such an important asset that if you're not using it, they can't improve it. So always, like, if you can't, if you're like, books are expensive, I can't do it, like, please check your library.
And even ebooks, you know, there are tons of free ebooks. I mean, you could not pay anything and read for a long time.
Definitely.
Our library has a pretty good comic book section. I actually read several from the library, Batman Hush, Batman the Long Halloween, Watchmen, most recently. So I was really surprised with their selection of comic books. And something else they had, the Japanese, what is it called?
The manga.
Yeah, they had.
I will say, the library here in Enterprise, they actually, for some reason, I noticed all the comics that we had are kind of gone. But they have had several mangas here lately, so I've kind of wanted to sit down and talk, because that's the other thing. If you will talk to the director, or a lot of times they'll have a request form, and if you're like, we need more of this, they definitely read those. They don't laugh them off. So that's something I was going to go to them and suggest, like, hey, Dothan has a lot of comic books. Why don't we?
Yeah,
we got a comic book store right here in town.
Exactly.
You know? So it's just something that I've... every time I've seen your pictures, when you go to the library and you pick up another bundle, I'm like, man, kind of a little jealous here.
Well, now
I'm not going to lie, like, comics get expensive too.
Oh, yeah. I'm learning that. The last time I went, I didn't find anything I wanted. So either, you know, a lot of the good stuff was still out, or I've read everything that I wanted to read there. And luckily I have friends who like to lend me comic books too, so I will never not have enough comic books.
Hint, hint, somebody has a whole entire box right now you should be reading.
I do. I'm trying to read all the Flashpoint books, and okay, it's just taking a while. It's a lot of books.
It is a lot of books, I think. And the way he had them organized in that box was fantastic. So,
I kind of may have unorganized it.
I don't think Blake will have a problem with
that.
Okay, good.
That
collection is fantastic. And I actually am going to read them when you get done with them. So it'll be a while before he gets them back.
Yes, a long while, I'm sure. Especially if I'm picking up, you know, 4, 5, 6 books a week. in the Rebirth titles. And of course, I'm going to read those the day I get them. So,
and that's always my hang up. I always have to sit and decide, do I want to buy each individual issue right now mm-hmm. when they come out so that I can read the story along with like all of you guys mm-hmm. so I can discuss it? Or do I want to wait and get the trade when it comes out with, you know, one through whatever that they decide to put in the trade? That's always like a really hard decision for me. And, you know, there have actually been some of the Rebirths that like you and Russell and Greg have picked up that like I've just chosen not to read, not because those characters aren't characters that I love. It's just that story arc, like I've read a snippet and I'm like, I don't know. No, I'll have to wait for a trade or borrow theirs when this is over with.
That was my intention when I started my pull list, my very first pull list. I was like, I'm just gonna do like a lot of these and then let them naturally weed themselves out if I don't like it or, you know, it's not working for me. And then I have yet to drop one. So
Oh, that's my problem too. Like I keep adding and not dropping.
Yes. So, yeah. You know, I thought I was going to drop Flash and then it got better. And then I added Titans, which I friggin' love. I added Nightwing and.
Oh, Birds you cannot go wrong with Nightwing.
This is my first Nightwing story. Oh my God. I'm in love with Nightwing.
He's just always been like that character in itself, whether it's Robin or Nightwing or whatever incarnation of him you want to say, like he's just always been like, I don't know why I've just always gravitated towards that character per se, but
because he's awesome.
Well, he is, but he has like such a backstory that you just keep wanting more and you keep like, where did he go? What is he doing now? You can't just like, no, he can't just go away. That's not how this works. It's not how any of this works. So that I think you can't go wrong with Nightwing. And Titans, as much as flack as they get, like, I think most of the time the Titans stories always turn out really, really well. Which this sounds really bad, but I don't get the new incarnation of the Teen Titans, but I actually get the Teen Titans Go ones.
I love Teen Titans Go. We talked about this on Twitter today. A lot of people hate on that show. It's hilarious.
That show is hilarious. Which kind of goes into the what are you watching question that I was going to ask you. They did a series, like a short, like 5 days, and I thought it was hysterical, where they were like stranded on an island. And I'm sorry, this came out like 3 weeks ago. So if anyone is about to get mad that I spoiled it.
I doubt anybody that's going to listen to us watches. I don't know. Maybe they do.
I don't know. I'm sorry. If you listen to a podcast about geek things and you get mad that you get a spoiler, it's kind of your own fault.
But for all the legions of Teen Titan Go fans.
Warning. Put your fingers in your ears if you didn't watch the 5 days shipwreck. So they did this, it was like, they're going to be stranded here for at least 5 days. Like the song was hysterical. And then the first episode, they pop out. And I love that they do things for adults because I'm sitting there watching it with the Geekling. And he's like, this is so funny. And they've got, everybody is pretty much somebody from Gilligan's Island. It's kind of like how they've got it going on.
Awesome.
And it goes through the week. And like, Robin is determined to make this work, basically.
Of course he is.
And he's like gotten them fight, and then at one point they even fight dinosaurs. Like they almost like battle bot with dinosaurs almost. And then on the very last day, they find out it wasn't even real. Like, this island wasn't even real. They were like abducted and thrown in here, and it's a TV set.
Oh my God! I love that show. There's an episode called Burger versus Burrito.
Oh my gosh.
It's the best.
Kaden has been going around the house singing the Pyramid Scheme Money song. And he sang it to my brother. And my brother could not stop laughing. He's like, do you even know what a pyramid scheme is? And he's like, yeah, it's when you create this business. And he's like, basically, you make this chart where the people underneath you looks like they're making a lot of money, but they're really not.
Wow.
And I'm like, Teen Titans taught you all that?
Wow. Wow. Life's lessons.
Right. So it just cracks me up. And the songs. Oh, my God.
I love the songs.
They're so great. So I did. I watched that. But that kind of – I wanted to see, like, what are you watching or what did you just finish watching that you're, like, really excited about? And I know – I'll go ahead and ask you, and what is something that is going to, because all of our fall shows are going to be coming out soon. Right. So what are you really wanting to watch? Like, that's kind of a multi-level question there.
It is. Well, you know, Netflix is my true soulmate.
No, that's like your spirit animal. Let's just be honest.
It's just, it's part of me now. Like, there's no separation anymore. So I am very fond of the Netflix original series, like pretty much all of them.
They've done a fantastic job. I would just go ahead and say that. I've not found one where I'm like, I don't think that should be happening.
So, like, Stranger Things was a huge hit. I mean, it was amazing.
Which no one pulled my geek card, but I have actually yet to watch it because I've had so many other things on my
list. You have to watch it.
To read. Oh, no, it is definitely one that I want to watch. Like, I watched the preview when they posted it on Netflix. And they were like, oh, this is going to be coming out on this date. And I was like, oh, my gosh, what is this? I need this in my life. And just other things, I got really invested in other TV shows that are finishing up because they're summer shows and mm-hmm. The books. You know, I actually did the summer reading program at the Library for Adults. So, like, I was really into, like, finishing that, and I just haven't started it yet. So
I think I've seen it twice, just back to back. Just I had to watch it by myself, and then my husband, who never wants to watch any Netflix with me, he ended up wanting to watch it too. So I just turned around and said, that's fine, I'll watch it again. So I've seen it twice. I'm probably gonna see it a third time pretty soon.
Did you like watching it a second time? Were there things in it that made you go, oh my gosh, I wish I paid closer attention? Because I've noticed with shows, several shows and movies, that sometimes I do that and it just makes me stop and go, I wish I had noticed that before because it would have helped me come to the conclusion of blah, 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 or ABC or, right. You know, whatever it is that I was wanting to get to.
I think it got even better on a second watching, especially the, to me, the horror aspects of it, just so well done and just creepy, just so freaking creepy. If it hits you in the right way, it could be nightmare fuel. I'm just saying, I didn't have any.
Hemlock Grove creepy? No. Like, did you watch Hemlock Grove?
I've seen some of Hemlock Grove.
Oh, I loved that one. That one was fantastic.
Let's see, what else? The Netflix, it's not really geeky. Well, it might be. I mean, maybe. But The Get Down is really good, about 70s New York hip-hop. And it's the first episode was directed by Baz Luhrmann, and I did not know that until the end. But the entire way through, I thought, this looks like a Baz Luhrmann film. Like, it has that style to it, that that Great Gatsby type style. Mm-hmm. The action and the dialogue and the music. It's different. And it grabs you. Like, it really did. I didn't expect to like it. I was like, come on, I can't like all the things that Netflix does. And then I got hooked on it. They don't have a loser yet so far for me.
I don't think they have for me yet either. There probably maybe will come a day just because they're going to put something out that's just not going to be, I don't know, maybe in my loop of things, maybe. So to speak. I don't want to hope that that'll happen, but...
Well, they have built up so much cred with me. I'm like, just whatever. I'll just watch it. I mean,
it sounds like Netflix needs to just be sending Jenny a check.
I mean, they. I mean, I can't even describe my love for Netflix. But coming up in October, we got the CW shows coming back.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Leading up to my birthday on the 8th. So it was like a whole week of just birthday goodies for me. Arrow, Flash. I think the next week is Legends of Tomorrow.
They usually do space them out just a little bit, which is always like, oh, but at the same time, it's then you realize your week is so full already that it's kind of a good thing too.
And since Flash will be doing Flashpoint, a version of Flashpoint, that's just number one on my list. Scream Queens, that comes back in September, I think.
Yes, I'm very excited to see where they're taking this year.
Because I did not expect to love that show as much as I did.
I didn't either because they kept saying it was the Heathers meets. They had like three things that they threw together. They were like, it's the Heathers meets Scream meets American Horror Story meets something else. And I was like, you just can't do that many things together well and it be good.
Right.
And I did have a friend that she watched the first two episodes and she's like, I don't know how you're on episode four right now. And I was like, why? And she's like, that is the stupidest crap I've ever watched.
It like, kind of is, got to but be, it's so
like,
great,
you got to be kidding me. I was like, it is so hysterical. It's so stupid, hysterically funny.
Yes.
But at the same time, there's a story going on that you just, for some reason, want to know more.
Exactly.
Like, you want to know what's going on and why it's going on. And that's kind of what caught my attention. And, like, I think everybody's probably seen it now, so I won't spoil it. I'll be nice.
Yeah, don't.
Because I know,
don't
spoil it. No. I won't spoil that because some people do wait for entire seasons of things to come out before they watch it. But, like, I told you, I called it last year because you and I and, who was it, me, you and James and maybe Nick.
Yeah.
We had a discussion during, which we do, there's a group of us, for those of you that don't know, there's a small group of us that we have a Facebook group together. And what we do is we will actually log on during the showing, the live showing, and we will discuss it as things are happening. And like the very first episode, I was like, I call the killer now. And I'm never right. Like, I don't know why I'm never right, but I always like pick this person that is not the most obvious person, or you would never think that it's them. And I'm like, for some reason, you would think it was them. And here lately, the past like few seasons of things that are like this, where you got to pick so and so to be the bad person, I've been right, and I'm very proud of myself.
Awesome.
But I did. I messaged you, and I was like, I don't want to post in the group because I don't want to ruin it for everybody. But I'm gonna call it now.
Yep.
It's that person. I won't even say she or he because. But I said it's that person, and then when I finished the final episode, I was like, holy shit! Did you finish it? And you're like, not yet. And I'm like, finish it now. I have things to say.
I don't know. There's something about that show. I really don't even know what it is. I can't even describe it.
It's like funny. It's not gross, but it's like funny gross.
Yeah.
But it's like, I don't know.
Dumb, funny, and smart funny?
Yeah. It's dumb. It's smart. It's like they've put so many words that shouldn't go together, but they do.
Yeah.
And it just makes you want to watch more. And then I watched the Comic-Con panel on, because, you know, they're Taylor Lautner is part of the...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Sheer, and John Stamos.
Yeah,
and
that's...
Like,
wow.
You cannot introduce Taylor Lautner and John Stamos and not have, like... Because they already had a stellar cast to begin with. So they're adding those two. And they've kind of announced what they're doing, the theme of this year. It's all set in a hospital. Mm-hmm. But it's not the hospital that was briefly part of season one. And so that makes you even go, what?
Hmm.
So this is like a couple, I guess a year or two has passed since season one. I sometimes don't like when shows jump ahead, but I guess we'll give them a chance to see because based on where they left it, you would almost have to jump ahead to go to a kind of sort of another storyline, but within staying.
Yeah, because it was very contained. It was a contained story that had an ending.
It did, and they have flat out said it will not be the same killer. It will not.
I'm excited for it.
Yeah. Somebody even asked, will that killer make an appearance? Will that, because they, you know, and it won't spoil anything, but saw season one, it was the Red Devil is what they called it. Mm-hmm. The killer was called the Red Devil, and they wore a Red Devil costume. And somebody at Comic-Con flat out asked Ryan Murphy, will we see the Red Devil? And he was very polite about it. And he said, but what I said earlier was that we get an all new bad guy this year.
I like that.
So there will be, from my understanding, there's no Red Devil whatsoever. Okay. Red Devil's been put to bed. So I'm kind of excited to see where that one goes.
Me too.
Really am.
What else is coming up?
I mean, there's a lot, pretty much everything. Something that I keep seeing the preview for, and I have really mixed emotions about. They're making MacGyver into a television show.
Yeah.
But apparently the guy that's playing MacGyver, the whole premise is that he's a young guy.
So kind of like a reboot?
I guess. So, but did we not learn from turning other things into...
No, we will never ever learn.
And reboots, that sometimes this doesn't work. But I hope that it does. There's some things getting canned this year that will not be back on. That I actually read some tweets and some Facebook posts today of some unhappy people. Graham is gone.
Yes, so. I did see that, which I never watched, but I knew it had a kind of cult
following. It was good, actually. Oh, yeah, it's a fantastic show that I think you can catch all the episodes on Netflix. It's something that Jerry and I actually started watching together back in season one. And then, you know, his schedule goes so crazy back and forth all the time that we stopped watching it, not on purpose, but because it was going to be like the thing we watched together. And I finally looked at him one day and I was like, if you're not interested in TV right now, because he does that sometimes where he's like, there's nothing I want to watch. He's like, I like that show, but I just don't want to watch TV. And I'm like, I can't not watch this show. And I know we promised to watch this together, but I can't wait for you.
Yes.
So I picked it back up without him, and it's an excellent show, but they have decided that it's done.
How many seasons was it? Seven? Six?
I want to say seven. It could have been six or seven.
That's a good run.
It was a good run. Because, you know, there have been a couple others that haven't made it as far.
Right.
But it is hard to see a show that has such a following and is doing well. I mean, they have comic books and so many other things that, okay, we're just, you're done.
Well, that's how I feel about Hannibal, because I didn't watch Hannibal until, like, last week or the week before that, and something just my best friend Netflix said, hey Jen, you might want to watch this, and I said, okay Netflix. And I'd heard really good things about it, and so I binged all three seasons, and they don't have a fourth one announced, and I don't think that they are.
I actually saved I was trying to find it really quickly without making like too much crazy weird noise here, but I had saved the list of the new fall shows of what's coming on each channel. Now the sad thing is, usually when they make these lists, they always for some reason exclude channels like MTV and which it's Freeform now. I keep wanting to say ABC Family, but and they actually do a lot of really good shows that are fall television shows. So I hate that when they do the fall lineup grid for you, that they don't include those.
Huh. I wonder why.
But I guess they only do ABC, CBS, Fox, and NBC. Well, and they do now do the CW. I mean, they do within the past few years when they do it, they consider it, you know, to be the major networks.
It's not like 1953. I mean,
I know.
It's just, like, why? That makes no sense to me.
But I have, from what I understand, Hannibal is not on the list. Yeah. I have not seen it at all.
It's not.
So unless somebody like Netflix picks that up, which, you know, we have seen happen before.
Yes.
That There will be no more Hannibal. What I also did not see on the list, which they were flip-flopping back and forth on whether they were actually going to bring it back or not, was Sleepy Hollow.
Yeah, I never got into that one. I watched maybe like the first 6 episodes. But I knew it changed time slots a couple times, maybe.
It did. Which I was the opposite of you. Like, I watched like 2 episodes of Hannibal and was like, I'm not feeling it. And not Sleepy Hollow. I was like, can you please be next week already? Yeah, I don't know if maybe it was the wrong. I feel like Sleepy Hollow would have done well either as a Netflix show or on CW. Mm-hmm. Maybe it just wasn't the right channel. It happens a lot. And another one that's gone that I absolutely loved, and everybody I talked to that watched it, they were like thrilled about the show, and they canned it after 1 season, which makes me so angry, was Limitless.
Yeah, I like that show too. That main guy, what is his name? The main character.
Oh my goodness, he used to be on a show I watched on when it was ABC Family, when they first started doing shows, like, you know, TV shows, and it wasn't just like, oh, you turn it on, it's 700. The only problem I had with him, and this is totally like weird, but have you ever had like an actor that you really like, and then they make them play like a bad guy, like a really bad guy in something? And I don't mean like a villain. I mean like a bad person.
Oh.
Well, they had him do, I like Lifetime movies, so sue me. They did a movie about the Craigslist killer.
Oh, God.
And he played the Craigslist killer. And I was like, what are you doing to me?
Oh, no.
Okay, so it's Jake McDormand.
Yes. I like him.
Boy, he's adorable. He's just adorable. And he's such a good actor. And, like, he played the part of, Brian?
Yes.
Brian Finch, so well, and it was just so well done, and it was just very interesting.
I was a big fan of the book and the original movie with Bradley Cooper.
Yeah, and Bradley I liked Cooper that they was really great in that. They put him in the show too.
Yeah,
they
he was
did a really
in the
good
show.
Job. They did a really good job.
I think they did. I'm surprised that didn't make the cut.
I don't know why. I will give them this. They are starting to do better about letting things go a full season before they're like, oh, here's 4 episodes and you don't get any more.
Yeah.
I remember.
That's brutal.
Oh, yeah. There was 1 year. It's been, Kaden was probably 4, I want to say. And that year there were literally 4 shows that came out. And it was when they did The Witches of Eastwick, Happy Town, The X List, and something Cupid. And they all came out the same year, right?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody's probably going to listen to this and be like, you're wrong on your years. So they may have been within a year of each other, but they were like way close together. And they canceled them. Like within the first like 4 episodes, they were like, and we're exiting this. And like, you didn't give people enough time to find the backstory on these. And like, sometimes I need like 3 episodes. Sometimes I record the first 3 episodes before I even watch them. Like, how did you make the determination that it needs, that it's canceled? Like, it just, I don't know how they make those decisions.
I don't either.
I know we've done the Nielsen surveys like a ton. Mm-hmm. I do them every time we get one in the mail or every time they call me about doing one. I think that's probably why they keep sending me those, because I do them. But I do them because I feel like if I'm doing them, at least I know I did my part to maybe not get something canceled.
Exactly.
Maybe I was that one person they needed to be like, oh, look, we do have 100,000 people that watch it.
Wait, Miranda's watching it? We got to keep it on.
Well, you put female and age. And then they give you this little booklet to fill out, one for each television in your home, and they want to know what's on that TV, even if it's on, it's just background noise, what channel it's on, and then you mark off like what times it's on.
Right.
And then if you recorded something, there's a different section in the back of the book. You write down every single thing you record.
Well, it seems like, you know,
it's a little time consuming.
Most people I know record everything, you know, so that should count for something.
There's a lot of things this past year, last year, there were a lot of good shows that came out. And I recorded a lot, and I ended up dumping several because I was like, you know, this sounds really bad, but Netflix picks them up, and if it's good, they'll pick it up.
Exactly.
And if it's not, they'll cancel it. Netflix will still pick it up. Like, it'll still be on there, at least the first season.
Well, see, so, something that I really loved, I thought she was amazing, was Selfie. I mean, it was a terrible name for a show.
Oh, that was an adorable show.
Karen Gillan is really amazing in that show. And even the other dude, Henry Cho.
Yes. And what else was he on? He was on something.
He was on Harold and Kumar. He was in Star Trek.
Yeah, but there was another show where he was just, like, really funny. And
he is really
like
funny.
That.
But them together, you wouldn't necessarily put them together. But they were just...
John Cho.
John Cho, that's right.
That's it.
Right. He was, but their chemistry was unique. It was different. She's just like the most gorgeous thing ever. And just, she just killed that show. I don't understand why they canceled it.
I don't know if it was the demographic they were trying to reach,
maybe,
the time they have it on. But that's the thing that they have to consider, is it really does make a difference what night and what you put things on before and after. It sounds really weird that makes a difference, but it does make a difference.
And titles make a difference, too, because I always hated the name of that show.
Well, that actually brings up a good point, something I noticed on Netflix the other day that kind of threw me off, and I thought it was really hysterical, but there's a Netflix original that I watched the entire season, and I hated the name of it, so I almost didn't watch it.
What was it?
But I was really bored, and the original name to it was Scrotal Recall, which was hysterical, but it was like, I hated it so much. I was like, I don't know that I want to watch this, because I don't think this is something that, what is this? But I started watching it, and it's hysterical, and it's kind of like a love comedy, dramedy, whatever they call those now. And he finds out he has something, basically. He has an STD, and he has to go back and tell the partners that he was with that he has it. But it goes through the backstory of, like, his time that he was boyfriend and girlfriend with each girl.
Uh-huh.
And through this whole time is the girl that he really – he didn't know he was in love with her, but he's in love with her. Hmm. And it comes to the end of season one, and like things kind of like come to a head, and like there's
literally
all these little stories, kind of, sort of, yeah. There's all these little stories that go in between there, though, that with like this whole friendship dynamic that's going on with like all these friends that live together, and like his best, like, it's just amazing. And but the name, I was always like, who picked this name? Did they get fired? Because, oh my God, because how many people probably scrolled past that and was like, oh my God, I'm not watching that.
Or if you're like me, look at it and bust out laughing and then say, yeah, I have to watch this show.
Well, that I turned it on as background noise initially because I was like, but the synopsis is what caught me. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, I'll get past the name because the synopsis is great.
Who's in it?
But I noticed it's British. I will give you, it's British.
Oh, well,
I have,
I'm watching
British.
It. It's British.
If it's British, it's mine. Like, I don't give a crap.
Yeah, I will watch it.
I love anything British, all things British, especially, yes, British crime. Oh my God. Fantastic.
Comedy. I tend to lean towards the comedy, but.
Oh, they do amazing comedy, too. But, like, even their crime, like the Miss Marple stories or anything like that. Like, I don't know why the British do it better, but they do.
Yeah, they do.
They do. But I noticed it's in my, because, you know, it's in my queue still because I knew they would possibly be adding a second season. So I leave it there. And I'm scrolling through there the other day because I finished all of the season of something that I just finished, which I guess I could tell you about that. So I was like, what is this? Oh, a new show? Because it's now called Lovesick. And I'm like, what is this? What is this? I don't remember adding that.
That is a better name.
And it's the same name, or it's the same show, but a different name. And as someone that watched all of season one, it fits. Like, the name fits so well. And it's like you talking about Selfie. Like, that was such an adorable show and a well done. And it actually had a lot of, like, lessons in there that,
yeah,
I caught myself like crying sometimes.
Oh yeah.
And I don't care who knows that I cried at the show Selfie, but
I
it did
care.
Because
no shame,
like it just made you stop and think sometimes, like, even as an adult, like, we still get hurt. Mm-hmm. We still have feelings. And a lot of times we put up this armor. And there were just things in that show that made that real and raw, mm-hmm. and made you kind of remember that. Or if I was having a bad day and then I watched Selfie, it kind of made me, like, realize, like, in a funny way, my day really wasn't that bad.
Exactly.
And everything is, you know, not all peaches and sunshine. And I loved it. And I think you're right, the name, the time slot, what it came on, because it was a 30-minute show, so you always have to look at what came on before it and what came on after it.
And maybe the marketing, too, made it seem a lot more shallow than it was.
It did, because they did present her as, like, this stupid, shallow girl.
Which, that was her arc, but, you know, they never went past that.
Right. But they were starting to,
right.
And they were getting to a great place where the show was going to be something more and something fantastic. And you could just feel the energy, and it just kind of, I don't know, just went away.
I love the unexpected pairing of him and her. Like, you would never expect them to end up together or to have anything in common. And, you know, it has sort of a My Fair Lady vibe to it.
Right.
So it just, I don't know, it just, I miss it. Now I want to, like, watch the whole thing all over again.
But I think that kind of, like, lets you go full circle into what we were talking about earlier with, you know, the whole, like, people being accepting of our fandoms within our culture. It kind of shows that you could look at two people and not expect them to be friends or be interested in the same thing or even care about the same things. And then if you just take a moment to look past the outer facade, the outer look, whatever you want to call it, that you actually have a lot in common. You actually can share things that you didn't even know that you could.
Well said. Well, on that note.
Man, I went deep.
You did. On that note, let's take a little break. And when we come back, you know, we're nerds, we're geeks. You know what geeks love? They love making lists of things that they love. So that's what we're going to do.
I love this.
When we come
it.
Back from the break. Stick around.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Voice of Ring of Honor's Kevin Kelly here. I want to make sure you're subscribed to all of our great feeds here at Place to Be Nation. Just head to iTunes today and search and subscribe to the Place to Be podcast feed, the PWO PTBN feed, PTBN Pop, and of course the Kevin Kelly Show feed, which includes the full archives of my podcast. Some really great stuff. Subscribe, listen, and then rate us and leave feedback today. Thanks for being a fan of professional wrestling. More importantly, thanks for being a fan and supporter of the Place to Be Nation.
Place to Be Nation is JT Rizzuto here. In addition to the archives of the Kevin Kelly Show, we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com. And we now offer them to you on two great feeds. On the Place to Be podcast feed, you can check out Scott Friscolo and me on the Mothership, the Place to Be podcast, with our famous Vintage Vault pay-per-view reviews. PTBN also covers current-day wrestling with clotheslines and headlines, main event, Mission Indie Possible, and our monthly pay-per-view reaction shows with immediate feedback on WWE, NXT, and Ring of Honor Super Shows. Relive Wrestling's Past with our monthly pay-per-view rewind series led by Ben Morse and the Dangerous Alliance Wrestling Podcast as we dive into various subjects in the form of exercises and games. All of this in addition to Scott Keith's Podcast of Doom, which includes discussions on questions from listeners as well as current day and old school wrestling. We also have sports covered too with the Sports Lounge, the TJ McClune Show, and NBA Team Podcast. On our brand new PTB Pop podcast feed, we offer great shows such as the Glenn Butler Podcast Hour Spectacular, Rank and File, Lucha Undead, as well as a veritable podcast heaven for comics fans with the Hard Traveling Fanboys, Sellers Points, Todd Weber's Conversation, and Imaginary Stories. Subscribe to both feeds on iTunes and be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All these shows are available on PlayStation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus tournaments and more. Be sure to check out the right-hand side of the site for details on how to support the site when you shop at Amazon and download our free Place to Be Vintage Vault Refresh eBooks. We also want to thank our friends at Boneheads Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island, and Fall River, Massachusetts, and Scott Keith's Blog of Doom. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Thank you. This is Parv, and I'm here to tell you to listen and subscribe to the Pro Wrestling Only Place to Be Nation podcast network. That's the PWO PTBN podcast network, where you'll find a ton of in-depth shows done by hardcore fans. We've got Chris Zellner's 1-2 Punch of Exile on Bad Street, and with David Bickenspan, a smash hit Between the Sheets. We've got Wrestling Culture with Dylan Hales and Dave Musgrave, Goodwill Wrestling and the Reaction Shows with Good Old Will from Texas. We've got This Week in Wrestling with my man Pete and Johnny Sorrow, Stephen Graham and Tim Livingston's Pro Wrestling Super Show, Tag Teams Back Again with Kelly and Marty Sleaze, and a ton of other great shows too. And of course, there's Titans of Wrestling and Where the Big Boys Play with yours truly and some dude from down south called Chad. PWO, PTBN, Podcast Network.
You may contain the urge to run away, but hold her down with soggy clothes and breeze blocks. Cedrazine, your fever scream me again. Never kisses, or do you ever send a full stop? Do you know?
Okay, guys, and we're back after a short little break there. Sometimes you just need those.
Hopefully, everybody came back.
I know, right?
All right, so we, you know, we went around. We tried to come up with some things to talk about in our first episode. You know, like I said, geeks and nerds like to list things because why not? And we thought as an introductory thing, we could count down our top five fandoms. And we haven't discussed the lists with each other, so we don't know what we're going to say.
Should we discuss the list in advance? And the agreement at the same time was both no. Like,
so we might have some overlap. We might not have some overlap. So, you know, we can just start from five, work our way to one, and I'll let you kick it off.
Well, here's the only problem. You told me that we were going to do five, mm-hmm. which five, okay. So I finally narrowed it down to top five. Mm-hmm. Here's the problem. Mine are of the moment. There's a few that are always in the top five. I have love for all of my fandoms, but sometimes things happen. And A, you piss me off because you've done something to like a character or the storyline or something really simple, as in pushing release dates back, and you just make me really angry. Or B, something just really outshone you in a way that I can't get past that, where I go through a phase where that's all I want is you. Mm-hmm. So mine, like, yeah, I numbered them 1 through 5, but that's not how I love them. Like, I don't know how I love them. It's like picking a favorite child. How do you do that? Which, as the person says, that only has one. Like,
well, I only have one, too, so I have
But none. I know, like, how do you, like, I don't
well,
know.
Well, it could change just, from day to day. We'll just call our lists fluid.
Yeah, so never come up to me in public and be like, oh, I heard your podcast, and my top five is also blah, blah, blah.
Well,
and
I'm gonna be like, do that. Like,
well,
I
today
would be interested
it's not
in
that.
Hearing.
I would be interested in hearing your top five, but my top five may not match yours on any given day.
Right. It may not even match your own self on any given day.
Right? I'm going to keep this note, and in like 2 weeks, I'm going to look back at it, and I'm going to, I think we should do a recap, and I'll be like, today, it does not agree. So, sure, let's go with count. I guess we'll count down to five. Okay. From five, and my number five right now is World of Warcraft, which is a very well-known Blizzard game. Mm-hmm. It's been one of my tops forever. I know you don't play the game, but a lot of people that do. For me, my love is that it goes beyond just being a game. There's a whole world and lore and story, which that's what a lore is, but there's a story, and it's like almost like it's a for real. I know mm-hmm. it's not, but a for real, like deep history that these people have created and spent so much time and energy and blood and tears, I'm sure. And sometimes we make jokes that probably they've even done drugs to get to this point. just because of thought processes they have. But it's such a deep, rich storyline that it, even above and beyond the game, that, but don't let that deter you. Like, if you're someone that was thinking of playing Warcraft, because my son even plays, and I don't know how much the story he's actually listening to. I think he's just like, yeah, I killed it. Woohoo! I took it down. I beat the bad guy. I ran a dungeon. Like, I don't think he's actually paying attention to the lore and the story that goes with it. And that's the other thing, is that it can be a hardcore game. Like, you can be really serious about it, or you can just casually run around and play and be almost someone else, this creature that you could never actually really be.
Well, that's awesome.
Kind of fun.
All right. Well, my list was hard too, although when I sat down to write it, when I just wrote down five, and then I thought about it, and I'm like, that seems about right. So my number five is Doctor Who. And
wow.
Yeah.
I knew it would be in your top five, but I'm kind of, like, surprised to hear Jenny say that it's number five.
Well, I think because the other four I've been into longer. Doctor Who did not come into my life until about maybe, like, 3 years ago.
Oh, okay.
And it's kind of funny because, you know, I always kind of knew what it was. I didn't really know much about it, but I started watching Torchwood before I watched Doctor Who.
Oh.
Which most people don't do that.
No.
But you know what Torchwood has? Torchwood has Captain Jack Harkness.
A lot of Captain Jack Harkness.
So much.
Which Captain this could Jack. Make... Oh, talking about Captain Jack Harkness could turn this podcast into my panel where I'm like, Benedict Cumberbatch, Benedict Cumberbatch.
And
that's probably for another day.
And he's a gay man, so... You know,
it does not matter.
These
I can appreciate.
Are just, I mean, but oh my God.
It does not matter.
So
no.
I loved Torchwood. So I was like, well, I have no choice. I have to start watching Doctor Who. And
well,
I was.
Because they reference things, and you're probably like, what?
Yeah. I'm special. So, and then, you know. Once you get over that initial, like, what the fuck is this, cheesiness of it, it just hooked me. I binged it for months. I was just, and I was at a point, I was kind of, like, having a difficult time in RL, and it was like therapy. It was like Doctor Who therapy.
Right.
My doctor is David Tennant. I know everybody has, you know, their doctor, but he's my doctor, followed very closely by Eleven, who I love.
Okay, so everybody usually has a companion and then a favorite bad guy. So since Doctor Who is on your list, I'm going to need you to tell me who your favorite companion is.
Okay. I can't have... Well, it's funny, but... I'm going to say Donna, because...
Wow.
You
don't hear many people say Donna,
I know,
so sorry.
I just... There's a thing. There's one scene. It's the adipose scene where in that episode where they're talking to each other from across the room, and he's outside, and she's outside the door.
Yeah, like, I'm doing it. Like, everybody can see me.
I'm like, oh, my God. I love it. That's my favorite scene in Doctor Who. And it's corny and it's dumb and it's crazy, but I love it.
But that's the thing about fandoms. It's whatever grasps you and makes you say, let me share this with you, is what makes it your fandom.
And Donna
and that,
is so...
You just described what made it yours, basically.
Donna is so not Rose, and she's so not... Martha, she's just her own, you know, there's nobody else like her, in Doctor Who, and she, and it's tragic, you know, she has a tragic part
to
balance out the funny and the, sad. You know, it's just, I love her so much. As far as villains, I love the Daleks, but last season Missy stole the show for me. The Master, whatever, Missy the Master. Michelle Gomez, I think is her name.
Yes.
Just so delightfully terrible. I just could not help but love her. I have no words. I just love her. But there's, with Doctor Who, I have this, like I said, this comfort thing. So if I'm having a crappy day, if I need something, I get it from Doctor Who. I turn on Matt Smith's first episode, The 11th Hour, is my all-time comfort episode. I don't know why. I must have been having just like a terrible, terrible day when I watched that one day and it made me feel better. But if I need some Who therapy, then that's what I turn on.
That makes complete sense. Like, but that's
hopefully.
Like, well, no, that's how like you basically explain your fandom to someone.
Yeah.
It really is. Like,
and
I don't know.
It's such
else
a global
be better
thing.
Said.
Yeah, it's just worldwide. Everybody goes crazy over it. I love it. I love the frenzy of it. I love the how people get so obsessed with Doctor Who. It makes me happy. What got at number four?
Well, for number four for me, it's really hard to put it down at number four, but it's, like I said, it's hard to rearrange any of these at a number. I'm a huge Disney. And when I say Disney, I mean like overall, like anything Disney. Some people might not find that something that you geek out about, but
no.
If you are not a fan of Disney, either you're lying to yourself
yeah.
or you're lying to us or both.
Yeah. Something's not right with you.
Something is not right with you. My like go-to more than anything in the world, Disney, is when Disney decided and they did this years and years and years ago, and then they've done remakes that have been fantastic as well. But Alice in Wonderland has always been my absolute favorite. And then, you know, the two new ones, you know, the one that came out several years ago and then the one this summer, absolutely phenomenal. And it's just anything Disney does, they do it with such class and such, even going to the park this summer. And I know people are going to be, it's so expensive. It's just,
worth it.
It's so rewarding. Like,
yeah.
I found myself at one point when we were at Disney, they have a light show that they do on the castle at the end of the evenings. Mm-hmm. And it's a certain time of the night, so you like can get a seat and it's perfect timing. And we found like these perfect seats that were near the castle, but not so close that like you couldn't see.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point I was like, what the crap? Is it raining? And I reached up and like rubbed my face and I was like, oh my God, you are crying. Like it was everything that had like come together for me, because this was my first trip ever to Disney at, you know, 31 years old. I finally made it to Disney and I have my son in my lap and it's his birthday, like mm-hmm. on his birthday, mm-hmm. like actual birthday. And he's sitting there in my lap and, you know, all these other families are around you and this light show is going on and they're playing all these different scenes and they literally add everything. There's no one that they forgot in that thing. And they're playing all these songs that we grew up with and that are new now. And it just hits you in a way that it makes you remember why Disney made you happy. It's like for you, Doctor Who is your comfort. And it is a comfort thing for me too, but Disney is my comfort. If I am feeling in a particularly bad state or I just don't feel good, there are certain Disney movies, and one of them is The Great Mouse Detective.
Yes.
I can put that in, and even if I'm not watching it, which I know like all the words to it at this point, I can put it in and just listen to it like as I fall asleep to take a nap because I'm exhausted from whatever it is in real life that's just getting me down, or just to have it on to like make me feel better. Or I'm a huge fan of the new Rapunzel, which is actually called Tangled.
Mm-hmm.
I love Rapunzel. Alice, even the original, like, cartoon Alice, like, any of those movies, Beauty and the Beast, The Little Mermaid, all of those. I'm such a girl when it comes to those. Like, I had to meet the princesses. My husband, Jerry, took me back one night, just he and I by ourselves. And he was like, okay, we can only stay for this amount of time. Let's meet everybody that you can meet. So he took me and he let me meet Ariel, Cinderella, and Rapunzel.
Aww.
Because he knew how badly I wanted to meet Anna and Elsa, too. But the line, when you go in, the way they have it set up is you either go to the right or to the left. And you, if you go to the left, you can meet Rapunzel and Cinderella. And if you go to the right, it's Anna and Elsa. Oh. And the line for Anna and Elsa was, like, super long. And the line for Cinderella and Rapunzel was pretty long, too, but not as long. So it was like, well, I'm going to pick this one because I really don't want to miss the whole meeting of Punzi. And then he made it a huge effort because he knew how badly I wanted to meet Alice. And we actually he took a picture of the board at the time she was supposed to be there. And we go back, when we were at Epcot, we went back to England, to meet her at the time that they had posted very first thing that morning when we went in at opening of park that she would be there, and she wasn't there. They had actually removed the times for the rest of the day. She wasn't going to be there at all for the rest of the day.
Aww.
So something had happened and there was no Alice for the rest of the day. And they were like, well, Mary Poppins is here. And I was like, I already met Mary Poppins.
That place is just magic. I have a similar story. We went for the first time last Christmas and, you know, my son is not really that big on meeting characters. He's a little freaked out by them. But he knew how much I wanted us to meet Mickey. And he had met, like, Chip and Dale earlier in the day, and he did really well with it. So, you know, we used our little fast pass thing to meet Magician Mickey. Oh,
those are fantastic.
Yes. And so it was really, like, quiet and private because they only let a few people in at a time. And Mickey would actually, like, talk to you and stuff. And, you know, my son did so well. Like, he wasn't scared and he didn't cry and... You know, I that was the first time I'd ever met Mickey, and so we took the pictures, and he did so great. And then, you know, you go down the hallway, and it leads you to a little gift shop, and I just started sobbing like I lost it in the gift shop. You know, I'm just, like, hugging him, and just like, boo-hoo, I'm so proud of you. I love you so much. It was just all of this, all of these emotions. I'm like, this place is just magic. Like, I had no idea I was going to have that reaction. But you really can't help it.
Right. You really can't. And that was the other part that was such a magical experience for me, is that Star Wars, you know, is now part of Disney. And you can go to Hollywood Studios, which is one of the parks, and everything. Star Wars is everywhere. Mm-hmm. It is everywhere. And you can meet, we met Chewbacca and Kylo Ren. And there's stormtroopers just walking around. There's a little Jawa just walking around. And I'm like, oh, my God. And it, like, hits another level of, like, in the feels that you couldn't, like, you can't express and you can't get back. And it's like you're a kid again while you're walking your kid around. It's just – Disney just does something to you.
That's why I say it's worth every penny. Like, I don't care.
It is. And we were already discussing, like, well, when we go back – we want to do this, and we need to make sure we do these two parks first because we missed several things at that park. Like, it's definitely something that I wish everyone had the ability to experience at least once in their life.
I agree. Okay, so my number four, which now that we brought up Star Wars, I'm rethinking everything, but I'm going to what I've written, which is Batman. My favorite superhero, first superhero, and he is a superhero. You know, the animated series, we watched it like as soon as we got home from school. I loved that cartoon.
Oh, my favorite one was, we have them on DVD now, but it was the one where it went, The Batman. Like, oh my God, I love that one so much.
And there's so many. I mean, you know, people.
There are. That's why you had to be specific and I just serenaded people with my horrible voice.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, there's, I don't know what, I wish I could, I think I had this, you know, maybe dark, dramatic side that I can get into with Batman. You know, that's just that part of me that likes the struggle or whatever it is, you know, the psychological issues that comes along with being a Batman fan, maybe.
Well, it's like he's damaged,
yeah,
and he's broken, yeah, and you want to fix him, and, yeah, but at the same time, he's like,
but
even whether it's the real life movies or not that they're real life, but you know what I mean? Whether it's the real action, the live action or the cartoons, like in the cartoons, he's drawn in such a way, and in the real movies, he's portrayed in such a way that he's this gorgeous, like, he shouldn't be broken. He should be happy and, mm-hmm, like billionaire. And, but deep down, it's kind of like how we feel, like, this is what you see on the outside and everyone looks so happy and perfect, but internally we're all battling something. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why Batman speaks to so many people, is because we all have something inside that's just, we've all been through something.
Right.
No, we haven't watched our parents being killed in the alley, but we've all experienced something that has made us vigilantes.
Yeah.
No, I didn't mean that. But, you know, like,
we're totally not vigilantes. Like,
no.
Like, not even.
No. But I think that's why it resounds with people.
Yeah. And the villains, the villains have always been parts of my favorite. You know, just...
Oh, yes.
You know, he has... just such a cast of villains that
no one else has.
No one else has that.
Yeah.
It's Batman. I can't even. It's just Batman.
Oh, yeah.
What do you got at three?
So, number three, it's not Batman because this is not the same universe. But Marvel. I am
nice.
A Marvel girl. We've talked about this before, mm-hmm, where, yes, it's hard for people to understand because Batman was my first superhero love. But DC was not my first all-over love.
Mm-hmm.
And Marvel was. And you and I have kind of talked about this privately, but I think it's because... when I started delving deeper into things, characters individually that I started falling in love with, for me, I didn't care for Spider-Man a whole lot growing up, not because he wasn't a cool guy or anything, but I just didn't pay attention. And then as I got a little bit older into high school, going back to that whole, like, I read alone. I wasn't, like, the most popular, kind of, like, I had friends. Like, I was like Peter in the sense that I had friends that were popular friends, but I wasn't, mm-hmm, the popular one. And I was always the friend with the guy, but never the girlfriend, kind of like he was. You know,
epic friend zone.
That list of, yeah. So I, like, as I started getting older, I was like, man, Batman's awesome, but I just really, like, I really feel Peter, like, my heart is with Peter. And then they did something like making Tobey Maguire Peter Man, you know, and, you know, growing up in that time period, that was like, whoo, you know, so how do you not, like,
was
fall
it?
Even more? Yes, it was. Hush, that's how old we are. So how do you not fall even more in love when you find, like, when there's an actor that you kind of sort of like, ooh.
Yeah.
And you start falling, like, even more in love. So.
And he's so awkward.
But that's why I think I love him so much.
Yeah.
I'm so awkward and he's so awkward. And we just kind of sometimes want to be in our room and left alone and with our books. And the weird thing about this whole thing is I only have one fear. Am I, like, ever? And that's that I hate spiders.
Nice.
I've actually been bitten by several. my senior pictures, the way I'm standing on a couple of them, I'm standing that awkwardly because I'm hiding a brown recluse bite that what? I had to have like removed from my foot.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was also bit by a spider. It's just, I didn't get any cool spiders.
Damn it.
I got a giant bandage and a really expensive Dr. Bill.
Well, damn it.
Yeah. And a really, really painful shot. Like, I can't express to you how painful that stuff is they give you.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. But, so, in many ways, I feel like Peter Parker is the spirit animal. So, but as I started getting, like, more into Marvel Comics, because like you said, the villains that go with Batman, you want to look at the villains that go with Spider-Man. And in looking at the villains that go with Spider-Man, they do kind of cross-reference a lot of people. And you meet a lot of other characters in the Marvel Universe. And the more I did that, I actually learned about, you know a lot about her now, but like the obscure ones, like Miss Marvel and things like Doctor Strange, and that kind of sent me on a loop of what is this whole universe that everyone has just always talked about DC, and so it kind of did something for me that made me be the Marvel girl, as the boys
the
refer
Marvel,
to me.
Yes. The boys.
The boys.
Not our husbands, no.
No.
No, not our husbands. Our friends, Greg and Russell, are the boys.
I was about to say, not just random boys either. Yeah. That would be weird. That would be weird.
So, for number three, and what sparked this whole idea was when we were talking, I'm looking at my bookcase, and there's my collection of Harry Potter books. Loving dog-eared copies that they are.
For shame, you dog-ear.
Well, they're just well-loved, okay? They're well-loved books. So Harry Potter is my number three. I was kind of late to this party, too, because I remember it being out when I was in high school, but I didn't start getting into Harry Potter until my first year at Auburn, which I only had 2 years. Proud college dropout right here, but
yeah, I didn't finish either. It's all right.
I watched the first movie, The Sorcerer's Stone, and I'm like, what? Like, what? I just fell in love with it, and I knew it was a thing, but I was like, it was for, like, kids or whatever. I'm like, No. I need this. So then I just picked up the books and just read. Every book release, I was there at midnight. Every movie premiere, I was there. When we went to Orlando to Universal a couple times and done the Harry Potter stuff there.
That's one I definitely wanted to make.
Oh my God. Talking about when you walk into it and you hear the music. Like, I cried, like, hard, and other people were doing it, too, so I know it wasn't just me. When we rode the train, I was just in tears. It's the most amazing place, like, maybe a little bit better than Disney to me, just because my love of Harry. Like, I don't ride roller coasters. I get terrible motion sickness. It's just not fun for me, but I rode the one at the castle. Like, I did that, and I about died. But anyway, I did it because I love Harry Potter that much. I had a birthday cake that was Harry Potter when I was, like, 26, 7, something like that. So, my favorite book is Order of the Phoenix. And I think that's probably my favorite movie, too. Because that's the one with Umbridge in it. And she is just evil. She's
the worst kind of evil that there ever lived.
She's worse than Voldemort evil. I will fight you.
She's even worse than some real life people.
Yes.
Like, I mean, I'm just not even gonna lie.
There's just so much in that book that I don't know. That's the one that grabs me the most. I think it's because Harry, who is my favorite character, of course.
I was about to ask if you could tell me who your favorite character
is. It's Harry. I mean, it has to be. And he, when she makes him write, I must not tell lies, and he just does it, and it just gets imprinted on his skin. I mean, and he doesn't say anything. He doesn't tell anybody. And he's in that battle of wills with her. It's just, that's Harry. I mean, you can't get any more Harry than that.
I agree. I really
do. Not intended.
I totally wouldn't even think about it until you said it. And I love me some puns, so I don't know how I missed that. That's... Oh, God. I can't get over that for a second. I'm just going to need a moment here. Oh, God. Okay.
It doesn't get any hairier than that, my friends.
But you needed to have said that in Hagrid's voice.
Yeah.
That
no, I can't do
everything.
No, I'll leave the voices to Greg from now on.
I can't do them as well as Greg. Definitely cannot do them as well as Greg. But I like to try them sometimes, you know. Think, what have I done in the past? I've done the Batman voice at the panel. I've done several that I've been asked, could you do that again? And I don't think it's because I was good at it. I think it's because it's kind of funny when you try, whether you're good at it or not. It's just funny. So,
all right. What are we up to now, too?
You did number three. So, it's time for my number two, which was your number five. Yes, your number five is my number two.
All right.
Which I did get started a lot sooner. So Doctor Who, for me, is something that goes back a long time ago. Again, this is something that my uncle actually used to watch the original series. A lot of people have the misconception that when you start talking about, you know, that there were doctors before, like nine, and they're like, well, why is he number nine? Let's see.
It's complicated.
This is actually not season one. Mm-hmm. This is series this. And you go back, and if you ever get the chance to go back and watch them, I will say watching them now, like all these years later, one, it's hard to do because the video quality is not the best. Mm-hmm. But just to see how far they've come, it's fantastic. The actors, they really put everything they had into it. Everyone that has ever played a doctor has been, I don't know, such a special gift to the world of Doctor Who.
I would agree with that.
They could have never picked. There's some I would have liked to have seen stay longer. There's no one I would have liked to see gone quicker at all. It's always hard to adjust to a new doctor ever. And
so who's your favorite doctor?
I am definitely a 10. He's always been my favorite. And honestly, there was a lot of flack about 12. A lot of people didn't like him. I did right off the bat. I did for various reasons. He was angry. It was time to be angry.
Yeah.
But he was the dynamic that was just going on there. I was having a hard time watching it in general.
Because of Clara. Sorry. She's just not my favorite.
And I like her, but she's not my favorite. No. But the fact that I disliked her more than Donna, which I'm sorry, but Donna was not my favorite.
Ugh.
But there were things that happened to Donna where I was like, I feel so sad for you. I am a hardcore Rose and Ten all the way.
Yeah.
Like, it sounds really bad, but I don't like River Song. Like, why does she need to be there?
Really?
Yes. Why does she need to be there?
I love
Rose.
Her.
Rose was a perfect, like, companion.
Yeah,
he was happily in love with her, and, like, he didn't need a wife. Huh? Go on somewhere.
No, dude.
I understand where she fits in the storyline, and I think it's great, and it's part of the arc that had to happen, but I'm one of the weirdos that's like, why do you exist? But yes, she's part of and if you aren't a fan of Doctor Who and you're like, what are they talking about? It is a part of the storyline that must exist. She must exist.
Mm-hmm.
But she just, I am a weird Doctor Who fan that she is not my favorite.
Well, I'm surprised by that. Well, what
I know,
about
I don't
Dylan?
Know. It has definitely always been the Dalek.
Yeah.
There's something about them that I kind of feel deep down that they're just misunderstood. No, I do. I feel like that initially, if we'd gone like way back to when this feud happened, if we'd resolved a few things, they wouldn't be so angry.
Daleks don't resolve things.
That's the problem, though. They're always like, I don't know, just the way that they've handled things these past few seasons. You're like, wait a second, that's not how the Dalek works.
Well,
but then it like makes you go, oh, so they were being manipulated too. Like, you know, just that's why I love them so much, because they're kind of stupid.
They have a plunger and a whisk.
Right. And who else has a plunger and a whisk?
It's
and
just great.
They can still fry your ass dead quicker than you can like hop and skip away from here. Like, sorry.
Yeah.
Like, at least I can dump water on the Cyberman and he's like fried. Like, you know, the adipose, it's too cute for me to be mad at.
Yeah, they're not
like,
scary.
I can't be mad at it. The Dalek, that's why the Dalek has always been it. And Missy, I feel like she's just a brat. Like, master, whatever form it takes, just a brat. Like, get over it. Get over yourself. Like,
I like her.
That's why the Dalek is my favorite, is because, like, it's just kind of, it's this complex, like, one mind that it actually has figured out how to make all these other little Daleks, like, its little slave and zap the shit out of me. And I like that it's really the only thing that the Doctor is genuinely scared of.
Yeah. That is funny.
Like, no matter what, and he's like, shh, shh. Like, he's genuinely scared of this. And I think that's why I like him so much. Because no matter what or where he is in time,
there's like, going to be some Daleks there.
There's a Dalek, and he's like, crap, not again.
Tired of killing your entire race over and over again.
And I will say, because they did take such a long time to start the series back up, because I think it was, what, 2005?
Yeah.
When they came out and they decided they were going to do the series again, which was an excellent idea.
Yes.
That Stephen Moffat decided to bring this back out, and that BBC said, yeah, we'll give it a go. And it's been a great thing ever since.
I agree.
But that first episode that they have with
Lord.
Rose and Nine and plastic, like, people.
Yeah, poor Mickey.
I know. Poor Mickey the idiot.
Yeah. But he got a really cool arc, I think, in the end.
He does. He ends
know,
up,
I, really like,
I end up really liking him in the end. But that I'm like you, if you can just get past those first few awkward, like, and basically what it boils down to is, we're going to give this guy a show. We're going to let him revamp this, but we're only going to give him a budget of this. Mm-hmm. So that's basically what it boiled down to. And you can see where the budget gets bigger.
Mm-hmm.
The stars get a little bit better. Like, everything gets a little better as time goes on. And that's what makes it happy for me, is that you see it get a little bit better. It's still got that cheese factor, though. You almost want.
Yes.
That, like, if it were to ever go away, it would create something that, I don't know. And there's the TARDIS sound. That something about that TARDIS sound just makes me happy. The sound of that TARDIS.
Yes.
And my favorite.
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
Yeah. I was just saying, my favorite episode, because you actually have, like, a specific episode. Mine is a Tennant episode, and it's The Girl in the Fireplace.
I love that one, too.
Which is, they call it Series 2. Mm-hmm. So if we want to be specific, it's, like, the fourth episode of what they call Series 2. And it's got, you know, Mickey and Rose, but that's when they start introducing some pretty interesting characters.
Mm-hmm.
That repeat throughout, even up to now, that it just is really kind of curious. And this is where they start getting, this is also the episode where you can see they started getting more money.
Yes.
Because you can see things just look a little bit more polished.
Mm-hmm.
And it also just shows you that they, they wanted to pull you into this. They were definitely trying harder with the world building, building the world, building the set, building something in your mind mm-hmm. that when you turned off the TV, it kind of kept going for you.
Yes.
So that one was it for me because that's when it clicked. And I know that sounds really bad because there's several episodes before that.
No. But
that was the one for me where I was like, this is it.
With this show, this I think is... that's pretty common.
Right.
For it to take a while. Because I've tried to, you know, turn friends onto it and, you know, they're just not having it. My husband not having it.
Well, that's like your husband's not having it. And you said you're a huge fan of Torchwood. My husband actually has watched Torchwood, loves Torchwood, does
awesome.
Not watch Doctor Who. He watches
certain
episodes with me and he'll look at me. And I mean, my husband's a huge nerd too, but he'll look at me and he'll like kind of roll his eyes
yeah.
and like
yeah.
go back to playing Warcraft
yeah.
or reading his book or doing whatever it was he was doing. But he says he can't get into it. He said there is like, he's used the word cheesy a few times.
Oh, yeah.
Our son likes it, but I will say our son sticks to specific episodes. Mm-hmm. He started watching at 9 and then he kind of was like, oh, I don't like these so much.
Mm-hmm.
So he skipped to 10, which I will say, no, Disney Channel has started.
Right.
Which I think is fantastic. And they've started with that. But I think they picked a good point or a good spot, which a point I was going to make is your friends I've done this a few times, friends that really want to start the series, but they're like, I've tried those first few episodes and I cannot do it. I tell them to start at 10. And I know that sounds bad because I really adored 9 and I wish he'd had a little bit more time.
Me too.
Because I feel like he just wasn't given the shot. Because right as it was about time for him to regenerate, I was like, please don't leave me. Please don't leave me.
But I think you're right. You know, if you can get him on 10, it's just easier,
then
like you said, because it's better by then.
Right.
And they can go back.
And then you do have a different appreciation of watching 9. But like my son, he doesn't particularly care for some of those that are with 9.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the later ones. Like right before we lose him,
mm-hmm.
He loves all of Tenet. And what's funny is you would think a kid, especially with the demeanor that my son has and the creativity and just how he is, that he would really be all over 11. Nope.
No?
10 and 12.
Huh.
10 and 12.
That's surprising.
Yeah. So it's just kind of, I think that's a good point. Like, tell people if this is a series that you'd like to start. Of course, I recommend it. And of course, you recommend it because it's something that's very close to us and very near
mm-hmm.
to it's our happy. It's your like favorite happy spot, but it's something that just makes you feel excited in general.
Yes.
But I would say start at 10 and definitely see how you feel about it.
All right. So my number 2 is from way back in the day. And it is.
Uh-oh, robot.
It is the X-Files.
Oh. Yeah.
Like,
I was going to start whistling, but I'm a really bad whistler, so.
So, I remember my mom watching yes. X-Files, and that's kind of rare. Like, my mom didn't really watch that much TV. She does now, but, you know,
Yeah.
You know, she worked a lot, and I remember she watched that. She watched X-Files, and she watched Star Trek The Next Generation. Which
my mom did too.
Made that list
yes.
too.
My mother watched Star Trek and X-Files, yes.
And so, and you know, when I was even younger, or maybe at the same time, maybe they were on at the same time, I'm not for sure, but we watched Unsolved Mysteries.
They were on at the same time, as a matter of fact, because we used to watch These Are the Stories
yeah.
Unsolved Mysteries.
And
yes.
I love that show. I wish that show was on Netflix. I would still watch that show. My favorite ones were the alien ones. Those are the best ones. And, so it just kind of, both of those melded together to form my love of X-Files. And then there's David Duchovny's face, which
oh my God, that Mulder smolder.
Yeah.
Oh, the whole time I was rewatching it, I would like tweet about it all the time. And like, this sounds really bad, but I kept like, tagging David Duchovny and being like hashtag Mulder Smolder. Like, oh my God. Some of those first like few episodes, and not that he's not an attractive man now, because he is aging well.
He does
but
age well.
God, when he was younger,
yeah.
Like,
I think that was probably my first crush, to be honest with you, because, I mean, he was really young, and I was like, he was a little disturbingly young.
Well, do you mean like first crush that wasn't like out of the Teen Beat
right,
magazine
yeah,
or something like that?
Yeah.
It was actually like a man.
Yeah,
like,
exactly. Yeah. And Gillian Anderson, like, I crush on her today just as hard as I ever did on him.
She's such a gorgeous woman. And she's like him. She's also aging, like,
oh my God,
so well.
She's stunning in Hannibal. Just stunning. I mean,
do they all just, like, go, like, dunk themselves into, like, these
know.
Fountains of youth? Or
they must have found some off in Canada when they were filming the X-Files up there because...
No, you know who found it? Sir Patrick Stewart.
Oh,
that
yeah,
is that's the man that found it.
You're right. But the X-Files just, you know, it's just this perfect mix of, you know, government conspiracies and your supernatural type things, which are the ones, the episodes that I always loved. And then their relationship, you know, that was my first ship, for sure.
Oh, for
like,
sure.
For
yes.
sure. I don't think I've ever shipped anything as hard as I shipped them. And
to this day,
to this
like,
day,
even watching the, you know, I guess you could call it kind of sort of reboot, continuation, whatever you want to call it. Oh yeah. To this day, I was like, please.
There's just something
that
about
I want
them together. I don't know it. And that show is so, it's so 90s. you know, their cell phones are, when they finally do get cell phones, you know,
shoulder pads,
you know, the shoulder pads. I mean,
yeah.
It just the whole aesthetic of that show just screams like my childhood. And, you know, I used to always think that I saw UFOs because we lived out in the middle of nowhere. So,
oh, us too. That's like that. We were driving back from my grandmother's house, like from where they lived, like back to the other. You'd be like, oh my God. Oh my God. I gotta write that down. I gotta write that down in my journal.
And there, you know, he always, whenever he has his gun, he always ends up losing it. I mean, he cannot shoot anybody to save his life. She ends up saving him just as much as he saves her. You know, her just absolute, in the beginning anyway, you know, deadpan delivery just kills me. Just because he's so... how he is, and I just love them together so much.
Oh yeah.
When I got older, because that one actually kind of, that was one of the few things that kind of spanned my adolescence, like between childhood and like say college years, was X-Files. You know, I did nerdy things like I was in a band and stuff like that, but I had a little bit of a rebellious youth there, but the X-Files maintained. Like, Sunday nights was X-Files night. Like, nothing else happened on Sunday nights because we made a dinner and we watched X-Files, and it was a thing, and it was sacred time.
Oh, yes, definitely.
All right. Everybody wants to know. What's your number one?
So my number one is one of your already named.
Oh, really?
Yes. But I have like, and I would probably, you know, the others I've said, I can't list like one above the other or pick one over the other. This one is probably, no matter when you find me, always going to be in the top. It will never go anywhere. It's
wow.
Earned a love of something non-geeky, I guess you could say, that I now, like, people buy me different versions of this thing all the time. It's just been, like, it actually also spurned a story about a small car incident I had where I called crime. Yeah, it's got, like, all kinds of things. So my number one is Harry Potter.
Yay!
And I actually started reading pretty much at the beginning. I remember being in early high school And my brothers, who are one is 3 years younger than me and one is 5 years younger than me, and they used to get like the Nickelodeon magazines and the different things like that. I remember one of them, we were waiting on them to get out of a practice or something, and I'm having to sit there because, you know, I'm young enough in high school that I don't have my own car. So I'm having to like sit and wait on them, like with my mom. And they'd left their copy of whatever this magazine was in the car. And I guess this was when they were trying to like introduce the launch of this book, right? And so they have this laying there and I pick it up and I thumb through and I'm like, oh, that sounds kind of interesting. So it was like the first part of chapter one of the very first book. And I start reading it and I put it down when the boys came out because that was all. And I'm looking at my mom and I'm like, I need you to take me to the bookstore. She's like, the closest bookstore is 45 minutes away. Can you not take me? And she's like, don't you have a boyfriend? And I'm like, can you not take me?
Yeah, his name's Harry Potter.
I'm like, can you not take me? I'm like, he doesn't understand that I need to go to a bookstore. And he lives on a farm. He's working right now. It's milking time. And for those of you that are like, what the crap is she talking about? So there's a certain time of day that you milk cows. Certain time in the morning and then again in the afternoon. You do it in rotation. And my boyfriend worked on a farm where you milk cows. So, yeah, there was no way he was going to drive me to the bookstore during milking time. It just wasn't going to happen. That's what happens when you grow up in Farmville, USA.
Nice.
So I'm like, I need you to take me to the bookstore. And she's like, why do you need to go to the bookstore so bad? And I'm like, I need this book. I need the rest of this book that's in that magazine. And she's like, that is in your brother's magazine. I bet it's not even in your... And I'm like, Mom, I need this book.
Don't understand.
Like, right. She's like, oh my God. And I'm like, she's like, let's go to the... I'll take you to the library. So I'm like, fine. So I have her take me to the library, which I will say for our small town, we had a very nice library. They did a very good job of... Like, as soon as something was new, they would get it out. And they would be like, we're sorry, we don't have that. And I'd be like, are you kidding me? So I finally convinced someone, like, 3 days later to take me to get this book. And I read it in, like, the first day I had it.
Nice.
And the second one wasn't even out yet, like, at all.
Ooh, so you had to wait.
Yes.
Between all the books.
Yes.
Wow. I did get lucky in that several of them were already out. I want to say... Four were already out by the time I got into it. So
this is actually fandom that when I met Jerry, because when you like first glance, you wouldn't think a lot of the things that he likes, he would like, but he does. When he and I first moved in together, one of the books came out just a couple of weeks after we moved in together. And I had to work that night, which I was a bartender. So our roommate, you could only get one copy per person. And if you came and got it on release night, they gave you like this giant Hershey bar. So the girl that ran the bar with me, we both wanted a copy, like really bad. So Jerry and my roommate, because Jerry was like, well, I need my own copy too. And I was like, well, then you're just going to have to forego the chocolate bar. That's really the only thing that you're getting different. What they did is, they took another friend of theirs that was like their best friend who coincidentally is from down here where we live now in Alabama. And he knew like nothing about this series. And he's like, what am I standing in line with you guys for? And they were like, just shut up and go with us. So they leave the bar and they go stand in line. They're gone for like an hour and a half. And I'm like, what is taking so long? So they go and get, and they come back and everybody gets a chocolate bar this way because Bubba was like, I don't even know what I'm buying. What are we doing again? Like, bless his heart. But so Jerry had a copy and I had a copy because he's like, you have to have your own copy. We can't do this whole, like, my bookmark goes here, your bookmark goes there. He's like, that's just not going to work.
No.
So he stood in line for the midnight release for that so that I could. Because I couldn't leave work. Because my boss, she was Korean. She's like, why you need this book so bad? Oh, and I was like, Jay, because I do. Like, I have to have it. Like, Jerry has to go get it for me. She's what? Like, oh, my God. Like, well, I probably just offended so many that. Koreans right there.
I was going to say, let's not.
I didn't mean to. And okay. I have friends that are, so they're probably, like, laughing at me. But that was Jay, and I loved her. And then the next one that came out, the final book, I think. Yeah, it would have been the final book was the next one. And we were in Alabama for that one. And I actually went dressed up and stood in line.
Yep.
As Luna Lovegood in the Ozark Walmart.
Nice. Nice.
And they came down through the line, and depending on where you were in line is depending on where you got to go first.
Right.
And they gave out bracelets on your, they didn't know it, but it was the different houses.
Yeah.
And so eventually there were just only so many of us there that they were like, oh, here, you can just have one of every house. So
I miss those book release parties. It was so much fun.
They were a lot of adults. Yeah. And they were just a lot of fun. And Jerry got tired of going to the movies with me because, I'll tell you why. The one movie I remember, I'm trying to remember, it's the one, because see, they all start to run together for me now when I go to separate movies. Mm-hmm. So I want to say it's Order of the Phoenix.
That's the best one.
Is that the one where they have like the real Quidditch match? Like, well, I know they have Quidditch in all of them, but that's the one where it's like the big like national teams or whatever.
I think that's Goblet of Fire. Like with the World Cup, you mean?
Is the World Cup in Goblet of Fire?
I'm pretty sure. Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Whichever one it's in where, you know, they end up finding the person dead in the house itself,
yes,
with the Slytherin wand,
yes,
at the World Cup. Mm-hmm. Well, there's this whole scene that happens in the book right before that explains like who that person is and uh-huh. who the house elf is. Uh-huh. And that doesn't happen.
No.
And I'm looking over at Jerry. Well, that scene happens, but it happens like
in a flashback
and completely differently. And it doesn't explain any of those things. And I look over at him and I'm like, I'm still mad. And he's like, I read the same book you did. Shut up. And I'm like, but that's not how he's like, hush.
Well, you know.
This is how like the conversation goes through that whole movie. And I'm like, they did such a good job up to this point of being so accurate. Why did they have to do this to me? Why did they have to do this to me? And he's like, can you just shut up? And this is when movies started getting expensive. He's like, we paid a lot of money to be here, and we had to pay for a sitter. This is not the best movie theater. Like, you're sitting on my – I was sitting on his jacket. So he's like, you're sitting on my jacket because the seat, you're sticking to the seat. Could you just shut up? I'm like, oh, my God. Like, I was getting, like, furious.
So then he wouldn't go to any more of the movies with you?
He will, but he's like, if you talk.
Yeah, I don't like talking during movies at all.
I don't talk, but I'm complaining about said movie. I'm not trying to, like, talk. I'm not the one that wants to have full conversations with you during the movie. But if I know, like, you know the lore, mm-hmm. I will look at you and be like, crap, just happened. Like, I just get very frustrated. So I have, for me, right before I met Jerry, I was having a really hard, like you said, in real life time, just things were going on. And that's when The Prisoner of Azkaban was released on DVD. Mm-hmm. So for me, that was my go-to movie. And I would just watch it. I literally would put it in my DVD player because it's the first time that I lived alone, completely alone. I would put it in my DVD player at night, and it would be my noise and something to fall asleep to. I would play that. It was either that or Shrek. the second Shrek movie. I had those on rotate. But so that is my favorite movie, because I know you said you had a favorite movie over all the others. And it is kind of hard to pick because, one, looking back, there's not anyone that they could have picked differently for the cast.
No.
They did such an amazing.
Perfect.
There are some people they had to replace because of different reasons.
Yeah.
And it's sad, but they had no other option.
Nope.
But even the people that they replaced them with, Other than the one kid that, like, that was a whole race change.
Yeah.
That one always, like, completely threw me off. But they still picked fabulous people for all the roles. The costume designers, the set designers, you know, everyone they chose to work on these projects. Just cannot say enough amazing things about them.
I agree. And then, you know, we have more Harry Potter goodness coming soon.
She's also announced just last week, I think it was, maybe the week before, that she's going to write more books in the Harry Potter world. It will not be like The Cursed Child, mm-hmm. which I have finished. I did get in hardback because I wanted it to match my collection, which I've heard actually a lot of great things about. It is written in play format for those that were wondering. So far, I did kind of start on it, but because I was already reading something, I was like, no, I really want to wait till I can devote all my time on this.
Yeah, I'm kind of putting it off a little bit, too.
It doesn't bother me that it's in play format.
No, it doesn't bother me.
But I was also, I grew up where you were in band, I was in show choir. So I'm used to having to read things in play format. Mm-hmm. It's been a long time. Like, it's kind of been a hot minute since I've been in high school, so. You know, we read things, sheet music, and which I don't read sheet music very well, but, you know, we either had like a play format or sheet music that we used. So I'm familiar with having to read things that way, just reading it and not like narrating it back and forth with someone. So I wasn't opposed to reading it that way. I kind of liked reading it that way because then you could almost make up voices in your head.
That's true.
And I know that may sound silly to some people, but I already do that anyway. If it's a book that doesn't have a movie or doesn't have a narrator, because I do audible some things, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
I make up what I think these people, and that's what you're supposed to do. That's exactly. The whole point of the book.
Yeah.
I make up what these people would look like or what they would sound like. And honestly, sometimes the author may be telling me that this person is a 5'3" blonde with blue eyes, but the more I read and the more I read their demeanor and they feel their demeanor, that is not what I'm picturing in my head. But that's just where Harry Potter, they got it right. Like what I read in the books and what I pictured that these people would look like, they found them.
They did.
And they put them out there and they made it perfect.
I agree.
My favorite character, which I think you already knew this, I'm not sure. I guess you could consider it a main character. Some people do. She's pretty main towards the when she start getting further into the series. But I'm a huge Luna Lovegood.
Yes, I love this Luna too.
She goes kind of back to the Peter Parker thing. It's when you feel like that's you. Like when you're reading a story and you feel like that person is you.
I could definitely see that.
And that's where I relate a lot. I relate to Hermione, but I don't feel like I'm her. Mm-hmm. She's a little bit more bossy than I am.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Who's in charge here?
Oh, gosh. But she, Luna is just, she is a Ravenclaw, which I actually have taken every stinking test there is. Because everybody's like, I bet you're really not. I've taken the one on Pottermore. I've taken the one that BuzzFeed has. Mm-hmm. There's one that the Mama Geeks posted that I think one of the Mama Geeks actually made. I've taken that one and I've taken another one. And every time I take it, I always end up in Ravenclaw. So I'm beginning to think I'm not being lied to.
No, I can see that for sure.
So I used to like reading them. Like when I first started reading them, I was like, oh, I'm a Gryffindor. Yeah. But no, like not entirely. No, I could see where I would be like Luna and be friends with Gryffindors and go do things with Gryffindors. But I would probably, that's why I think I like her so much is because I find myself feeling a lot like her just overall. I'm having a hard time saying which one of my books would be the favorite because things started happening in some of the books where until a certain book, I had never physically thrown a book across the room. Mm-hmm. And
it was the Half-Blood Prince, wasn't it?
Oh, yes. I threw it and I cried.
Cried so many tears.
I picked it up and I threw it again and I cried. But that was
agreed.
At the same time, that is kind of a book. That's kind of the book where it takes it and makes everything kind of come to almost. I want to use the word come to fruition. Mm-hmm. Or everything is just it. So maybe in the sense that that's the first book that made me angrier than I've ever been in my life. But it, maybe that is my favorite book of the series then, because it is, it's everything.
It's all come to this.
Like, I know it's not the end, so I hate to say, but it's kind of come to this, and this is what it is, and this is where we've gotten to, and it's hurt.
You didn't have any other choice, you know? No. It had to happen that way.
You knew it was coming. You knew it was coming. You did, but you didn't want it to come, and you didn't think it was yet. You thought you still had some more time, but there's a reason why. And I mean, I could say why, but I figure at this point it's been out so long that it wouldn't be a spoiler, but just in case.
Just in case.
Yeah.
We'll leave it like that.
And because of Harry Potter, I now have like this weird, like, I love owls. I actually kind of collect different owl things.
Well, that's cool.
I really love, I don't know, when he got Hedwig, it kind of did something. Mm-hmm. I'm a huge animal lover to begin with, and I don't think I would want an owl because in real life, they're not as cool and as nice as everyone thinks they are.
Not real cuddly with the owls.
No, they're not. They're really mean.
Yeah.
Don't go too near an owl if you see one.
Mm-mm. I mean, they're really pretty, but...
They are. They're very pretty, which is also a weird thing that I find them so fascinating because I don't really care for birds.
I don't either. I was just going to say that, and I'm like, I shouldn't say that.
No, I'm going to say it. I don't really care for birds.
I don't either.
Birds carry diseases and all kinds of things. And I'm not scared of birds. Like, I'm not afraid to be around them. I just don't care for them. But, yeah, I have people buy me all kinds of owl things now, and I really like owls because it came from Harry Potter. Which took me a while to realize. I'm like, why do I like owls? He's so cute. But it was Harry and his, like, and they talk about him so much. They make him such a huge part of the world that it's like, you want one so bad. Like, I want a broom. I want to find a broom. I want that. Like, that's not happening.
No.
So sadly. I think I've kind of like gushed over Harry Potter enough that I really think I need to know what your number one, because you really thought hard about this. So you like for real numbered them. So when you say number one, this is like a big deal.
Yeah. And you know, there wasn't really any ever question in my mind. And I don't even know if you know anything about this or not. I don't think we've ever talked about it, maybe, but my number one is Futurama.
You have actually. You send me little memes and stuff, and I know brief amounts of Futurama because I watched it like in the 90s because it used to come on either before or after the Simpsons time slot. Mm-hmm. And Simpsons, when I was growing up, was a huge thing for me.
Me too.
And so I remember when Futurama originally like came out.
I remember when it came out originally, but I didn't start watching it until later. It's pretty much the perfect show, in my opinion. I love animation. But the characters, the setting, the comedy, the feels... It all works. It's just, it has this thing where there's a perfect, my favorite episode is Fry in the Slurm Factory, which is kind of ironic, considering Gene Wilder passed away this week.
That was, like, probably the most heartbreaking thing. Yeah. We've lost such amazing people in the last, like, year. But Gene Wilder, for me, has to be, like, the most gut-wrenching when you list someone that's, like, a public figure that you don't really know, but you feel like you've known them your whole life. Mm-hmm. That to log online last night after being busy all day yesterday and to see that, that was very upsetting.
But, you know, the premise, I don't know if you remember or not, but the premise of the show is that a delivery boy named, a pizza delivery boy named Fry's, pretty much this loser guy, he gets frozen for 1,000 years. So he gets thawed out, and in the in another century, the next century, and so it's in the future, and he meets this group of people, and he finds one of his, you know, relatives who ends up being the professor, and he has a delivery company, and that's how he gets his job, because he's a delivery boy. And they deliver in a spaceship throughout everywhere. They have amazing adventures with a cyclops and a crustacean and a robot and a Asian from Mars, and it's the best thing. There's always amazing jokes in every episode. I don't care, even if it's not your favorite episode or you think the episode sucks, there's always something funny in every single episode. You know, they canceled it and it came back, and they canceled it and it came back. And
I didn't realize that they had canceled it several times.
Yeah, like three times maybe. And it just kept coming back because everybody just clamored for it. It's just, you don't want it to end ever. It's just that good. I actually recently started listening to a podcast where these guys have a love of Futurama, and they, you know, they're rewatching all the episodes and, you know, doing podcasts about it. And it's become one of my favorites because they're like me, you know, they just love it. And it's called Slurmcast. So check them out. Seriously, they're awesome. And what one of my favorite things about this is, like, I like cosplay. I've cosplayed exactly twice in my life. But the very first thing that I did was Leela, because I'm just like, I have to do Leela. She's in Futurama. She's my favorite. You know, I just love her. And I loved it. That's what made me love cosplay, was being her. And and then my son is a weird little person, and he loves Futurama. He gets the humor in Futurama, and he quotes it sometimes, and that's not a good thing because Bender likes to say bad words.
Oh, Bender, yeah, I know Bender doesn't say the most appropriate thing sometimes.
Right. So, of course, that's the one he's going to quote the most, is Bender. But I don't care. I can, no matter where I am, what I'm doing, I can always watch Futurama. It can be on in the background while I'm doing laundry, or I could be huddled up in bed with my Kindle watching it on Netflix. I mean, it's just a go-to, automatic go-to. And it's so funny. On my list, I went through, and 4 out of 5 of these I've had a birthday cake of. Like, I've had a Futurama birthday cake, I've had a TARDIS birthday cake, and a Harry Potter birthday cake. And this year I'm going to have a Batman birthday cake. So
I have had 3 out of 5. And Caden has had 4 of 5 of my top list.
So if you, like, birthday cake is my all-time favorite food. And for reasons like that are obvious, because it's cake.
Like, it doesn't have to be birthday cake. Like, can you just give me cake?
No. Well, yeah, but birthday
cake. We can say it's birthday cake, yes. But I mean, cake in general with lots of icing and me, that's preferably it. Buttercream icing.
Yes.
Oh, my Lord. Please just give me cake.
If my favorite fandoms plus cake equals happiness. I mean, that's where I'm at with that.
Cake is a happy thing.
Yes.
Yes.
All right, well.
So we're going to do something that we talked about doing. Yes. That I guess we'll
But I will real quick.
Yeah, you've got to think about it. So we're going to do something that will be like the closer of every show, because this is where the feminine, the girly in us is going to show through, which I say that, but we actually used to do a thing in our group where we had a little Saturday thing where we would post like who we found the most attractive. And mm-hmm. sometimes guys posted guys and girls posted girls. And it's not a sexual preference thing. It's more of a, if you find that person attractive, like, and that's just who you're like geeking over at the moment, mm-hmm. then go for it. So we're going to have a little segment here that we're going to do called Nerd Eye Candy of the Moment. So out of all your fandoms and everything you've been reading and watching, and even like if you've been playing something, is there just one person in your mind that when you're like, that's just who I'm stuck on for the moment because I've been rewatching this or been rereading this and I can't get that person out of my head? Like, who do you go to when I say that?
Right now, and I think it's because it's new, it's Nightwing. Because I really, really, really love his comic now, and I've been paying more attention to him in other things, just random things. And Nightwing is kind of like the man whore of the DC, but,
in a way, yeah.
Yeah, he likes the ladies. So I feel like
he likes the ladies, but he doesn't really dig commitment.
No.
Like, he doesn't dig commitment.
But that's okay. That's not what I want Nightwing for anyway. I want Nightwing for that ass. And wow.
She just said it, folks. Yeah. Like, late as day.
So what's yours?
So mine, he's not new, but he's newish. Like, well, I mean, Nightwing's been around for a while.
Right. Well, new to me, I should say.
So new to you. But mine is like fairly new within the last couple of years, like period. Well, I say that, but there was a comic of this show that this gentleman is on first. But you guys, and yeah, it's not my top five just because have other fandoms that really take precedence sometimes, but I love iZombie like so much. Like, the comic is stellar, the show has just been amazing. Mm-hmm. So glad it's coming back on. If you haven't tried it, you've got to give it a go. Like, it's just fantastic. And I'm rewatching the seasons that are on Netflix just because sometimes you just want to rewatch something that you've already seen it and you know what's going to happen, but you just need the bills again.
Yep.
And they have a character, Major Lilywhite.
Ooh.
Played by Robert Buckley. That
nice.
I don't know how to describe him. I want to say if you took All-American Boy Next Door and mixed him with the high school quarterback.
That's
but put him
good.
Into somebody that would, like, actually talk to and acknowledge anybody and everybody. Mm-hmm. Like, he's one of those, like, friends with everybody. And that's Major Lilywhite, the character at least. Mm-hmm. And from interviews I've seen with Robert Buckley, he seems like a pretty down-to-earth guy himself. But he's just some eye candy that
is
just fantastic. I'm actually going to I have a board on Pinterest that it's like nerd candy or something like that. Hang on, I'll tell you guys what it is. But anytime I have the moment, because this does happen when you're re-watching things, I'll pin them there. Go check them out at any moment. It's candies for the eyes is what I call it.
Nice.
And I'll go and like pin their picture there. Just like.
That's a good idea. You need that. Do that.
Or the other thing is like you'll want to be talking to somebody, or you'll be talking about that person later with someone else, and you'll be trying to show them, and it's just easier to have that. Like, right. Be like, look. Here, this is who I'm talking
this
about.
This is my hot boy reference guide.
Right. This is my. Oh, there's some females too. So.
Well, yeah.
But that's mine. Definitely Robert Buckley.
Awesome.
I don't know. I rewatched that. Right now I'm rewatching that. And then I didn't get to finish Once Upon a Time Live. I had to catch up on Netflix. So there have been lots of eye candies for me to see. But he's the one that just is there. Awesome. Can't let it go.
Well, hopefully, I think that's a good way to close it out, you know.
Yeah.
As it's almost midnight and we need to hit the bunks anyway. So, you know, our plan is to do these podcasts at least twice a month.
Yes.
More if we can. We have some ideas about guests and topics and different geeky things that we want to talk about.
Some ramblings
and whatnot. We have a lot of great friends who are very knowledgeable and love to talk at length about the things that we love to talk about. I'm sure that we will invite them to talk to us here. We don't have a Twitter yet, but I feel like we're gonna do that, assuming that that our podcast gets picked up.
But we do have individual Twitters.
Yes, we do have individual.
So what is yours? Because I know there's some numbers with yours that...
Mine is Jenny Cruz, JennyCruz, 2814, which the reference is Jessica Cruz from the Green Lanterns comic book, and then Earth's in Sector 2814. So...
Nice.
That's me. What's yours?
So mine is at Mom's a Nerd, because I do actually have, which is not so much a blog anymore. There's some new ideas coming with that as to how it'll be done. We may just do this together from now on. But for right now, you can just find me on Twitter at Mom's a Nerd, because that's who I am.
All right. Well, thank you guys for listening. I hope you stick around to the end. I'm hoping that in a couple of weeks we'll have another episode for you. Thanks for listening.
Bye, guys.
It felt like yesterday we were meant to stay, living like nothing wrong could happen. I still recall the time you were on my mind, monopolizing each and every second. Figured I should know how it's gotta go, cause nothing is made to last forever. Hardly moving on, the proof is in the song. Remembering how I used to feel alive, I used to want to, I used to be alright, I used to love you, I used to. And it isn't worth knowing that you're better off without me. I guess that you were right when you told me I would probably one day be sorry. But you know I'm not the kind to beg for a second try. Just chalk it up to another lesson learned and let it set our end. If I ever love again, remember now I used to be alive.
wish I could somehow just not remember.